Only 3 months into the year, of course, first full day of spring today, but a lot of changes to your thrift savings plan already. Brand new L fund, automatic enrollment. We thought it was a good opportunity 1 quarter in to sort of get an update on those and a number of topics impacting the TSP. Joining us, Tom Trabucco of he's Director of External Affairs for the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board. Tom, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Hello, Chris. Good to be with you.
So let's start with the L 2050 fund.
Right.
The 2050 just sounds so far away. Yeah. But first, take a step back and tell folks what the L funds are.
Sure. The L funds are asset allocators that take our five core funds and develop an allocation by a professional asset manager that is right for somebody with your particular time horizon. And the way you determine your time horizon generally is to think about when you're going to be withdrawing your funds. You determine that based by and large on your date of retirement, what you expect to do after you retire, whether you'll start drawing down your money right away or...
And as you said, I always point out that this is not your retirement date. This is when you start drawing the money date.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And when you want it to be in that safe mode.
Right.
But up until that time, it keeps you there's a term that the investment types use, the efficient frontier. It's called the efficient frontier, which is what it balances your risk and return ratio based on your time horizon. And so that is how this is designed to keep you there, and it adjusts every day so that you're never out of balance on that. Each day you go in with the proper allocation because you never know what's going to happen in the market that day, and you don't want to be out of sync on any given day. So it's done for you automatically. Very nice.
And it's I always call it set it and forget it. I know some people call it automatic, so it sort of adjusts automatically. But essentially, if you're retiring, you just set it, and you don't have to worry about the day-to-day, where things are.
That's exactly right. And I must admit, it is very, very popular. We now have the largest number ever, 759,000 participants have some of their funds in the one of the five L funds. That amounts to 17% of the uniform services, 18% of FERS employees, and 11% of us old CSRSers. We're a little hard-headed. It takes a while to get through.
You guys are like in the G fund, I'm guessing.
That's right. Yeah, as we get closer to retirement. The point that I would emphasize for L fund investors now, and we've had it available for about 5 years now, and the numbers are way up there. If you are not putting all of your funds into your L fund, you might want to consider that because if you've got one foot in the L fund and one foot in the individual funds, you may be actually working against yourself a little bit. So
and explain that, because essentially you've. The L fund pulls from all the different funds.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So it gives you the right percentages to participate in, so that when your time horizon is long term, let's say it's 30 years out, the L fund allocator for the 2040 fund, which is 30 years from now, doesn't have a very big G fund component.
Mm.
So if you're putting half your money into the 2040 fund and 50% into the G fund, well, you're kind of frustrating the
right.
point there.
Yeah.
Because you're putting so much value into the G fund.
And are you finding that 2050 are people, it's a brand new fund, so sometimes people get a little not freaked out about it, but it's new to them.
It is new, but we ran the numbers, and what we saw was that it appears that most of the people who are in the 2050, and it just started being offered in February, went from the 2040 to the 2050. So they were looking for more, a little bit more risk, and then, of course, the convenience of having that risk balanced on the efficient frontier every afternoon automatically for them.
And when we go through the numbers each month, you generally see more volatility in that longer-term fund because there's less in the G fund. So it's likely to go up more or potentially down more, but it's more volatile. So it's you're leaving it there for the long term.
You are exactly right. So you can hopefully, and in most cases this is the case, overcome the ups and downs of the market.
I want to just quickly have you explain, because I get a lot of notes from people saying I sound like I'm a proponent of the TSP, and it's not really my role here. But the TSP was, and people saying, oh, we want to be able to get our money and move it around more and do those things. That's not really the goal of the TSP. It's a long-term plan.
That's right. It is a long-term plan. It is designed to be passive. These are passive investments, for instance. All of our core investments, we have the G fund never has a bad day, as Mike says, but then we've got the bond fund, the F fund, and then three stock funds. But those final four funds that I just mentioned are all index funds. They're broad-based, and they are passively managed. Nobody is out trying to beat the market. What they are designed to do is to track the market so that federal employees, like their private sector counterparts, can get the benefits of market growth inside a tax-deferred retirement savings plan like a 401k.
And this is, if you want to do that kind of shifting of money around, the TSP is, that's not what it's designed for. That's not what it was created for.
That's right. Yeah. There are plenty of firms out there that would be happy to open an account for you,
right,
if you want to put your money in and take your shot at competing with others in the market.
And I know lots of folks do. So
that's right.
Let's talk about automatic enrollment, and because we're about 6 months into a little bit more than that,
that's,
right?
That's right. And I just checked the numbers, and I see that these numbers are as of the end of February, but we're now up to 84.9% participation by FERS employees.
And just quickly explain what automatic enrollment is for people who may not have heard of it before.
Beginning in the middle of last year, when new employees came on board, their employing agency automatically signed them up for a contribution to the TSP from their paycheck. That contribution amount is 3%. When the employer starts putting the 3% in from the employee's pay, the employer also puts in a 3% match and a 1% agency automatic contribution. So 7% starts going into every new FERS employee's account from the time they're hired. If an employee decides that he or she does not want to participate in the TSP, they have 90 days to roll that money back out to take back their own contributions. They, of course, don't get to keep the matching contributions, so they can discontinue that way. But what we have found, and I went back and looked at the February numbers on this, only 2.5% of new employees are indeed declining and saying, send me back the money that was withheld from me. In February, it was a total of 2,808 declined or opted out of the TSP. So it seems as though, again, this is a feature after much discussion, consideration on Capitol Hill, and lots of publication and news on it by you and other folks, that that federal employees have come to accept as a good thing to do.
And it's the free part, you know, it's giving up free money if you're not at least doing that much,
well,
which just doesn't make much sense.
That's right. You want to get that matching contribution whenever you can. Otherwise, you're leaving money on the table, and we don't want to do that. And gratefully, a lot of people are not leaving money on the table. I just checked the totals of the TSP, and we're now up, as of the end of February, to $291 billion.
Wow.
It just continues to grow in terms of new participants and new dollars, and the returns are quite good this year as well. Of our 10 funds, 8 are in positive territory thus far for the year.
Very nice. Quickly, I wanted to ask you about, because there's this bill that's been proposed on Congress, the Public-Private Employee Retirement Act of 2011, which would end defined benefit pension portion of the FERS system. And I think it's important to make clear that this not only doesn't impact TSP or TSP, in fact, in many ways, it reinforces TSP if it was passed, and it has a long way to go.
Well, that's right. I mean, this is just a proposal at this point. It's something to be aware of, that's for sure. But what it would do right now, the federal retirement programs are set up as a three-legged stool. There are three parts to it. Social Security, there is what's called the FERS defined benefit plan. That's a guaranteed payment, based on your years of service and contributions to that program. And then there's the TSP, which is a voluntary program.
Right.
The first two are mandatory, Social Security and the FERS basic benefit. This proposal that was introduced last week would eliminate that FERS defined benefit. Now, I'm curious to see how this plays out because as an old CSRSer, I've heard a number of complaints from FERS people that their defined benefit is not as generous as the CSRS is.
Yeah.
And that's true. But the FERS benefit is still a very good benefit, which after 30 years of service would give you a guaranteed payment equal to 33% of your high three. When you couple that with Social Security, it gets you up to around 50% of your pre-retirement income, which is not that far off from the CSRS benefit after 30 years, which is 56%. So I'm curious now that proposals have been made to eliminate that benefit, whether or not employees covered by FERS will look at that and realize that is a benefit that they want to keep, and so we'll see what happens there.
The law of unintended consequences often crops up with these things.
That's right.
Tom Trabucco, he's the Director of External Affairs at the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board.